ॐ स्थापकाय च धर्मस्य सर्वधर्मस्वरूपिणे अवतारवरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय ते नमः जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। My humble pranams to all revered Matajis and namaskars to all my sisters. It is a joyous day being the celebration of the birth of the Yugavatara Sri Ramakrishna. And it is all the more joyous day for all the devotees of Bangalore who have assembled in the serene atmosphere of Bangalore Math to spend the whole day in Satsanga. I feel fortunate enough to have joined you, though virtually, in this contemplation, in this satsanga. Our motherland, Bharata, is the land of Sanatana Dharma. Whenever there is decline in the Dharma due to the dominance of evil powers, God descends to restore the Dharma by destroying the evil. Hence they are called avataras. Avatarati iti avatara. But from where does the God descend? Is it from some heaven high above in the sky? No. We, the followers of Sanatana Dharma, we believe in the all-pervasiveness of God. God is omnipresent. Then why is he called an avatara? Why is he said that he descends? It is because he descends from his highest state of existence to the lower state of existence. This is what Sri Krishna has promised in the Gita. How does it descend? How does it take the human form? By the support of his own Maya. Because he is Maya Dhisha. He has command over his Maya. He can have the support of his Maya at his will and he can leave his Maya also. So, being Maya Dhyaksha, through Maya, he assumes human form to uplift and protect the mankind. Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa Dev is the avatara of the present age. What was the need for an avatara in this age? Let us go a few hundred years back to see the condition of our nation. The invasions of the West had disturbed the nation in various ways. People had lost self-confidence, started doubting and blaming their own rich culture, and had started blindly imitating the West. The invasion of the West was not just a political invasion, it was also a cultural invasion. Our culture is based on the Vedas, and once this is shaken, the very backbone of the nation is shaken. As a result of this, people became more and more pleasure-seeking rather than knowledge-seeking. The spiritual nature of the man was totally ignored. The Western-minded reformers were all the more worsening the condition in the name of improving it. It is at this time Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna descended on the earth. He showed through his own life to the mankind that how precious is the human birth and how one can make the best use of it for realizing the truth. His life is unique in various ways. Let us see one by one. Sri Ramakrishna, the unique avatara. In this avatara, Sri Ramakrishna was born in a humble, pious Brahmin family in a remote village, Kamarpukur. As a young boy, he was a very lively young boy, very joyous, but he was very reluctant in having formal education. But at the same time, he was very creative and he was master in so many types of arts. Even in later, when he grew up, when he became a young boy, He refused to have the formal education, saying that he didn't want it to have the breadwinning education. Here we should remember the two types of Vidya which is described in the Mundaka Upanishad. One is Paravidya and the other is Aparavidya. All over this worldly knowledge, even the Vedas, come under Aparavidya. Aparavidya only gives us information, that's all. But it is Paravidya which gives us the knowledge, which gives us the experience of the reality. So Ramakrishna, he ignored to have the Aparavidya. And he also showed that without this knowledge also, one can achieve the fulfillment of the life. He has repeatedly said, the goal of human life is to realize God. And for realizing God, no other education or scripture is needed. He showed in his very life very nicely. And in this avatara, he came as a very simple man. Actually, the uniqueness of his avatara is his simplicity only, you can say. He didn't have any external ornaments or weapons. His only weapons were Viveka, Vairagya, his strong adherence to the truthfulness, and his intense longing to have the highest knowledge. And what were the evil forces? And where were the evil forces? As in other yugas, the evil forces were not in the form of ferocious demons outside. Here, the evil forces are in our own mind. They are Kama and Kanchana. With the help of the weapons, Viveka and Vairagya, and adhering strictly to truthfulness, one can destroy these and achieve life fulfillment. This Sri Ramakrishna showed in his life. But he never studied any scriptures. But he had the first-hand experience of the truth described in all the scriptures. The maid servant Brinde says very correctly that he had not studied any scripture, but the scriptures were verily on his tongue. This reminds us of the shloka of Kathopanishad. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyaha na medhaya na bahuna shrutena yame vaisha vrunute tena labhyaha. Next, we'll see Sri Ramakrishna as the unique sadhaka and his unique sadhana. His sadhana began in the Kali temple when he became the priest of the mother Kali. He started worshipping mother. For him, the image of mother Kali was not of mere stone. He saw it purely conscious. It was Chinmayi for him. He started worshipping mother with great devotion, singing her glories with strong emotions. Gradually, he got so engrossed in the worship of mother, and even his longing for her vision also increased. He became extremely restless for the vision of the mother, and ultimately he felt that his life was waste without having seen the mother. He went up to end his life also, we all know that very well. He experienced, at that time he had the vision of mother, and he experienced intense bliss which he had never experienced earlier. Later he used to say, there was an intolerable anguish in my heart because I could not have her vision. Just as a man brings a towel forcibly to squeeze out all the water from it, I felt as if somebody caught hold of my heart and mind and was wringing them likewise. It was this intense yearning for mother that gave him the vision. We all should notice here that in this sadhana of his, in this realizing mother, he didn't have the help of any external guru. He only longed for her intensely. This is how he demonstrated that Vyakulata is the most essential thing in whichever path we go for spiritual enlightenment. And in the next phase of his sadhana, Sri Ramakrishna began practicing various other disciplines. We may feel, what was the need for the sadhana after realizing mother? Sri Ramakrishna did all these disciplines in order to make sure of the genuineness of his realizations. The first and foremost was the tantra sadhana from Bhairavi Brahmani. In the usual course, it is the disciple who approaches the guru for knowledge. But it was the reverse case in Sri Ramakrishna's case. It was Bhairavi Brahmani who came in search of her disciple. And she made him undergo all very difficult, complicated tantra sadhanas, and Sri Ramakrishna succeeded in an astonishing way. He undertook series of different sadhanas in various bhavas like Vatsalya Bhava, Madhura Bhava, Sakhya Bhava. According to Vaishnava scriptures, he did Vedanta sadhana under Totapuri and attained Nirvikalpa Samadhi in just 3 days. Ultimately, he was taught the religion of Islam by Govinda. The details of all these sadhanas are very well narrated in the book The Great Master Sri Ramakrishna. For any person, a lifetime is insufficient to achieve perfectness in one kind of sadhana. But it is a wonder of wonders in the case of Sri Ramakrishna. He could practice so many sadhanas in such a short period of time, and he attained perfection in all of them. The gurus were not only satisfied, some of them also got fulfillment in their own life from their disciple. For example, Bhairavi Brahmani, she got the help for developing her spiritual life, and we all know very well Totapuri, he was forced to accept Shakti after he came to Sri Ramakrishna. After realizing the truth through various paths, Sri Ramakrishna once again declared very authentically the same truth of the Vedas, Ekam Sat Vipraha Bahudha Vadanti. And also he proved that all the paths lead to the same goal, and no path is inferior or no path is a wrong path. Every path leads to the God, but the most essential thing in every path is that you have to have the intense yearning to reach God. If without intense yearning, whichever path you may follow, it will become useless. So, Jato Mat Tato Pat, Sri Ramakrishna has told in a very simple way. And this is a profound teaching of Sri Ramakrishna. That is why he is called the Samanvaya Acharya. He has done the harmony of religion also. And in all other avatars, we can see so many leelas. But in Sri Ramakrishna avatara, we can say the main leela of Sri Ramakrishna avatara is sadhana leela. And next, let us see Sri Ramakrishna as the unique Matri Upasaka. Sri Ramakrishna was the great Matri Upasaka. He worshipped mother, he realized mother, but it did not stop there. He himself has told that seeing God everywhere and seeing God in every being is the last word of sadhana. As a Matri Upasaka, we can see this truth in his life. He saw Divine Mother in every woman, irrespective of their social status. Everywhere, Mother was the only reality to him. Not only this, we can see his relationship with his own wife, Sri Sharada Devi. It's an ideal one. He never ever looked her as inferior to him in any way. Actually, they call wife as Ardhangi, the concept of which comes from Ardhanarishwara, because Lord Shiva shared half portion of his body with his Shakti, Parvati, to show that they are equal. But Sri Ramakrishna is a step ahead of this. He gave much higher status than him to his wife, Sri Sharada Devi. He worshipped her. He surrendered all his fruits of sadhana at her feet. We all should remember about the Shodashi Puja which Ramakrishna had done. As he told about himself, that one who was Rama and Krishna has now become Sri Ramakrishna in this age, but incognito. In the same way, he has told about Sri Sharada Devi also, that she is none other than the goddess Saraswati, the bestower of knowledge, but she has concealed her real form. Towards the end of his Leela, when it was the end of his life, we can see Sri Ramakrishna repeatedly insisting Sri Sharada Devi that she has to do much more than what he has done. And we should also remember how he directed Yogin Maharaj to have spiritual initiation from Holy Mother only. He got Mantra Diksha from Holy Mother, but he he got all the guidances in spirituality from Sri Ramakrishna. He approached Sri Ramakrishna only in the beginning, but Sri Ramakrishna asked to take him mantra diksha from Sri Sharada Devi. In none of the avatars, we can see so much of prominence given to the Shakti of the avatars. After the Mahasamadhi of Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Sharada Devi told that Sri Ramakrishna has left her back in this world in order to preach motherhood to the world. This was the great contribution of Sri Ramakrishna's avatara. Next, let us see Sri Ramakrishna as the unique guru. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that Sachidananda alone is the guru. Who is a guru? A guru is the one who dispels ignorance. And what is the ignorance? Ignorance is nothing but our false identification with the body. Truly speaking, we are all the consciousness. Our essential nature is the consciousness, the pure awareness. We are Chaitanya Swarupa. But we identify wrongly with our body and mind. So Guru is the one who removes this ignorance. And unless one who has attained this, how can he guide anybody else in this path? So Sri Ramakrishna says that a guru is the one who himself has known his true nature as consciousness. He alone can guide others towards it. Sri Ramakrishna had totally lost identification with his body and mind. We can never see him telling I or me anywhere. In the whole of gospel, if we search, we will not get any sentence telling by him that I. He always says, indicating his body, he always says this or here. He had the strong conviction, not only that, he had a very strong conviction that everybody, every being is God himself. So only he could not bear when he was addressed as Guru. He has very sharply told, I cannot bear when anybody calls me Father or Guru or Karta. The attitude of servant was natural to him. This was in his normal state. But when the divine power manifested in him, one could witness the extraordinary bhava of Guru in him. By the mere touch, he could bestow the experience of samadhi. Another necessary condition of a guru is infinite compassion. The guru endowed with this compassion imparts spiritual knowledge to the deserving disciple, which we can see in abundance in Sri Ramakrishna. He used to give spiritual instructions separately to each one according to the attitude of the disciple. Who else but a realized soul can do this? We can see the wonderful combination of true humility of a devotee and the grand Guru Bhava in Sri Ramakrishna. Not only that, people following different faiths also got fulfillment in their spiritual life from him. So, he is not a guru. He is not a mere guru. He is the guru of gurus. Guru Naam Guru. Next, we will see Sri Ramakrishna as the unique sannyasin. The meaning of sannyasa is sammyak bhave nyasaha. That means complete renunciation. The absolute necessary condition for a sannyasin is the complete effacement of ego. He is totally unattached to the world because, being aware of his true nature as consciousness, his dealing with all others is also in that consciousness level only. In Sri Ramakrishna, we can see this total unattachment, total detachment towards the worldly things. Once Narendranath had remarked to him that Sri Ramakrishna will end up as Jada Bharata, as he used to always long for Narendranath. He used to always say, Narendranath, I have not seen him for so many days like that. But Sri Ramakrishna at once corrected him, saying that he does Narendra because he sees Narayana in him. The day he stops seeing Narayana in Narendranath, he would never ever see his face. His burning renunciation was another quality of a sannyasin. he could not accept anything for himself. He could not even touch money, for not only money, even a piece of metal he could not bear, the touch of metal. And even a very insignificant things he could not preserve for himself. He used to lose balance. Holy Mother Sri Sharada Devi says, the main ornament of Sri Ramakrishna in this avatara is his renunciation. And we can also see Swami Vivekananda has called him Tyagishwara in his famous hymn Khandana Bhava Bandhana. In this way, Thakur may be externally a married person, but he was a great sannyasin also. When Swami Vivekananda was asked to write a biography of Sri Ramakrishna, he at once refused for the fear of belittling him. But instead, he composed three remarkable hymns on Sri Ramakrishna, which portray the divine qualities of an avatara in a magnificent way. The three remarkable hymns are the Achandala Pratihatarayo, the next one, which is actually in Bengali, Khandana Bhava Bandhana, and Om Rim Ritam. He has described all the qualities of an avatara and his infinite compassion in the grandest way in these hymns. Who else but Swamiji can compose such hymns, who alone could understand Sri Ramakrishna in the true sense? After giving in detail all the qualities of an avatara, at the end, Swamiji says, Namo Namo Prabhu Vakya Manatita. Even after describing so correctly Sri Ramakrishna's qualities as an avatara, at the end, Swamiji, why does Swamiji say he is Vakya Manatita? He is much more than what he has described. This we cannot imagine. So only Swamiji can say. He is beyond our words and comprehension. And each and every quality of an avatara which Swamiji has used in Khandana Bhava Bandhana is worth meditating. Khandana Bhava Bandhana is the hymn for meditation actually. And after that, in Om Hrim Ritam, Swamiji says, Swamiji is teaching us how we should surrender at the feet of God. One who has truly understood an avatara alone can have complete surrender. Swamiji says, Swamiji surrenders himself, Tasmat Swameva Charanam Mama Deena Bandho. He repeatedly says in the hymn Om Hrim Ritam. At the end of Om Hrim Ritam, he has given a very beautiful pranam mantra of Sri Thakur on Sri Ramakrishna. In a nutshell, he has given all the grand qualities of an avatara and the mission, the grand life and mission of Sri Ramakrishna. Om Sthapakayata Dharmasya Sarvadharmaswarupine Avatara Varishthaya Ramakrishnaya Te Namaha. In this shloka, Swamiji calls Sri Ramakrishna as Avatara Varishtha. He is not just an avatara, he is the grandest of the avataras. As we read, as we study his life, this truth is revealed to us more and more. But in fact, we can understand Sri Ramakrishna not just by reading and thinking on him. Actually, we should meditate. The more we meditate, the more he is revealed to us. So on this auspicious day, let us all intensely pray to Sri Ramakrishna to bestow his grace on all of us. Namaskar.